these for you. Okay, do we have enough seats for everybody? Do we have enough seats? Okay. They say in general, we appreciate, you know, generally we always have appreciation for Meir and everything that he does for us, everything he does for the Kol, for the community, Lahalan. I mean, we could go mamash all night. But can you imagine, like, the Shabbos before Pesach? That's a really hard darga, which is why I brought, as the resident Sephardi of the community, I brought rice. I was very only mafid to bring rice. Because Chas v'Shalom bring Chametz Gomer, already we'd be kicked out of the house. Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay, anyway, so Kitzer, so I don't want to hold up anybody too long. Again, the whole purpose, the entire intention is there should be a discussion. We raise a question, we talk about the parsha. This week's parsha is parsha Tzav, which is primarily, again, deals with korbanos, deals with all the sacrifices in the Torah itself. So I came across a very, very interesting medrash. Like almost, I had a heart attack once when I heard this medrash. Right, I resuscitated. It was crazy. Don't ask. It was a crazy story. But this medrash is unbelievable. I have a hard time understanding. I have a mahalach, but I want to hear what everybody thinks about. So I'm going to read out the medrash. It's a medrash Tanchuma, and it records actually a really interesting back and forth between the nations of the world. Can you hear me? Yeah, the nations of the world and Bilam. Bilam, our favorite character. You know, the prophet, the magician, whatever you want to call him. It's a very interesting discussion back and forth. Says the Medrash, Amru umas ha'olam leBilam. The nations of the world said to Bilam, Lama amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael shimakrivin leKarbanos v'lanu lo amar klum. Why is it that God, speaking towards the Jewish people, the nations of the world, asking Bilam, how come Hashem told them to bring Karbanos? And for us, He never told us to do anything. Lo amar klum, He didn't say anything to us. So Omar Bilam, he says a very cryptic statement, Bilam responds back. HaKarbanos einan ela shalom. Karbanos are only peace. And those who receive the Torah, mi shekibas ha-Torah shekzuvim ba, tzarech sheyakriv karbanos. With those who receive the Torah, the ones who bring the karbanos. So I don't understand at all what this exchange is. What was the question and what was the response to Bilam? So let's break it down a little bit. Number one, what are the nations bothered by in asking Bilam, saying, why is it not fair? Why did Hashem tell them to bring the korbanos, but for us, He never told us to do anything? First of all, why korbanos? I mean, if it's in regards to any mitzvah, any commandment in the Torah, it shouldn't be specific to korbanos. It could be lulav, esrog, tefillin. Why do the nations specifically pinpoint korbanos as the problem? Hey, it's not fair. How come they get to bring korbanos, but we don't? Furthermore, second question I want to ask, is it a goy or non-Jew is able to bring a korban? A non-Jew is allowed to bring a korban. Which type of korban? There's different forms, of different categories of korban. There's kachim kalim, kachim, there's kachim. A korban oila, at least, a korban that is fully burnt on the mizbeach, that is the type of korban that a Gentile is allowed to bring on the mizbeach. So what does it mean that they're saying, oh, we're not allowed, God never told us. God specifically also carved out an ability for a Gentile to bring a korban. So why is there specifically such an issue that the nations, that the Medrash is recording this, that the nations of Israel, the nations of the world were so bothered that they had to voice their opposition and say, it's not fair, God never told us, but only the Jews. And then there was, can you imagine? It's such a foreign concept, I can't understand that. And furthermore, what I really don't understand is what was the response of Bilam back? Korbanos are only peace, and those who receive the Torah are the only ones allowed to bring korban. What is going on over here? So leave open the discussion. How in the world do you understand? But let me explain what Bilam says. The Midrash does go on to explain what was Bilam's response, but I still don't get the answer. The Midrash explains that because the korban toyda, by the way, because zeh korban, it says, what is it? Zois. Well, I apologize. V'zois Torah zevach hashlamim. A korban shlamim is a korban where everybody, in a sense, gets something. The korbanos were broken apart. So you have the skins of the animal go to the Kohanim, the fat go to the Mizbeach, and the meat goes to the actual Yisrael, he who brought the korban. So says the Medrash, that's what it means, Bilam. That's what Bilam means when it says korbanos elin shalom. They have peace. Because the korban is, in a sense, is everybody's getting something out of the korban. The Mizbeach gets something to burn, the people get something to eat, and the Kohanim receive some type of benefit from it. But again, what in the world is the answer, and what was the problem that the nations of the world had an issue regarding korban? Does anybody have any ideas? But they're saying it's not fair, we want to do it too. You're saying that they want to have also some type of chelik in that? So Bilam is saying, don't worry about it, it's not that big of a deal? Okay.
He says, Shalom or Shaman?
Shlomim.
And
HaKarbonos Ela Shalom, because Chazal is using a play on words. The Shlomim is Shalem in the sense that it's balance, in the sense that everybody gets something out of it.
The basic idea is it proves that whatever the Jews will do, Tumot HaOlam will complain.
Right.
And we see it every day, and it's nothing to do if they can bring or cannot bring.
You're saying Bilam is pushing them off entirely. I hear you. Okay, listen, it's very well be, you know. Listen, he was a Chacham to whatever degree he was. Maybe that he figured out. No. Adam, hear the question. It's a good question, no? I think I almost had a heart attack when I saw this Midrash. Midrash, what are you talking about?
Erev Pesach,
you don't
want to. Erev Pesach could almost cause a heart attack.
It says what? The Torah, those who have the Torah.
I mean, me, I'll read you the Lashon. Umi shekibel asat Torah, Bilam is responding back. Sheksuvim ba, tzarech sheyakriv karbanos. Those who receive the Torah are the ones who have to bring karbanos. That can read it very simple. Shekhsuvin ba, that the karbanos were written within it, those are the ones have to receive. So I can hear maybe like that he's saying, what do you mean? They are obligated and they are commanded, so of course they're the ones who are going
to
bring it.
So that but, the accepting of the Torah creates the relationship for you to be able to
bring it. But again, the Gentiles also allowed to bring a karban oil, so it didn't really hit it. And again, I want to read the beginning of what Bilam says. Hakarbanos einon ela shalom. They are only peace. He's being cryptic and like it's peaceful. It's something which is inherently built in peace, and therefore that's why they're the ones who received have to bring the Torah. Any Rebbe, you have something to say? You always have what to say. But it's such a good question. I know, such a good question. It's just Rebbe, what are you talking about? Yeah. See? Right. They say two things: shtika, saig lechachma, and shtika. Exactly. So you agree, and you hold this stupid question. No, Raftali, what are you talking about? Okay, but at least you thought of the question. You have the question?
He's only arguing on Shlomim.
It seems to be, thank you for adding that diak, which is that it seems to be that if Bilam in responding back, Shlomim, that's what the Umas Olam were actually asking about, because otherwise they didn't really answer the question.
That's what they want.
So that's inherently they wanted some chelik, as Rish Kel is pointing out, they wanted some chelik with shlomim. It wasn't enough that just stam karbanos. A goy is allowed to bring a karban oil. All the entire animal is burnt on his back entirely. But this element of shlomim, they wanted some connection to it. They couldn't understand. Now we're talking. Now it's a farbrain. Now we're talking. They wanted to mischaber the ruchni and the gashmi together. I think there's a mahalach there. No, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
What's that to do with Karbanos Purim?
I mean, it's the fact that Bilam is saying. Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, could I suggest an idea? Possibly. I mean, Alderch, what the Rish Kel is suggesting, I think there's what to be tomich in this Nakuda. You know, again, this is my idea, and not everybody has to be masking to it, but the principle is that we have a very unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are all individuals in front of Hashem. But uniquely and very, very distinctly among any other nation in the entire world, we are a nation state. This is something that literally non-Jews cannot understand about us. They cannot figure us out. They cannot understand in any shape or form how we exist as either a religion or a people. Are we religion or a people? Are people a religion? It doesn't make any sense. Because it really doesn't make any sense. But the truth is, that's the complexity that Klal Yisrael is that we are both individuals in front of Hashem. At the same time, we're part of an entire unit. And that unit and that unity was developed and created through the relationship, through the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the receiving of the Torah, is what developed us as this unique nation state. I mean, if someone could theoretically keep the entire Torah and live as a monk on the, you know, I'll tell you even better. I used to, when I was coming from Israel, you know, I live in these tiny little apartments. You drive on the highway, you see like these big houses, living on these big plots in like the size of New Jersey that I don't even know where they are. You're like, it's like, wow, how cool would it be like to have this big, massive estate? And then very, very quickly, I'd be like, wait a minute, I need a minion. Wait a minute, I need kosher food. Wait a minute, I need a school. Because inherently built into the very structure of Yadus, of living a Jewish life, is that it's built with other people as well. You cannot have a full-on Jewish life if it's not including others. It's impossible to live this distinct life of where I do my thing, and it's inherently built in the very fabric and very structure itself. What the nations were bothered by was that they were so jealous of this concept of the shlomim. Because the shlomim is, by definition, is as the Rish Kel mentioned, is a gashmi and ruchni, but it's a gashmi and ruchni in where it relates to others as well. I mean, a carbon is not something where it's, I just get my thing out of it. By definition, what's a korban shlamim? It's a korban toida. What's a korban toida? Someone who's coming and saying thanks. They had a specific thing that happened to them, and the lachme toida, the amount of bread that was required, was never enough for one person to eat. It was inherently built in the fabric, and this is the Tzivos says this, that it was required to share it with others. The amount of bread was impossible for one person to eat it. They were required and expected to share it with others, because true simcha and true happiness is never just by yourself internally. It's including everyone else itself. So what the goyim were bothered by, and what Bilam was responding, is that it's unique in the covenant and the relationship of the Kabbalah Satorah that developed this unique nation state that we're not just religious, and we're not just a people, we're a mix of both, where we have an element of Torah together that binds us, and we have a nation which is bound through together, and that creates the unique relationship with Hashem. It's a very, very unique thing, which is why, exactly, what's so unique is that it's shalom, it's balance, but it's not just balance, it's a balance of giving towards others as well. The true yisoid of Avodas Hashem, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is where it includes others. If it's something which is pushing in the way, or something which is disregarding, or something which you're only keeping towards yourself, that by definition is not Avodas Hashem. And that's inherently what the goyim were, again, Lanias Daiti, is what the goyim were perplexed by, and were bothered by, and what Bilam was basically saying, you don't have access to these unique relationships. I mean, where else, what other nation do you find if, you know, you have an Italian that, you know, assimilates into becoming an American Joe, right? Is there any nation, I should say, is there any organization that is inherently directed towards making sure to stop, to stem the assimilation of Italians? Oh, you Ribbono Shel Olam, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the food that has the little the meat inside? The gabagoo. What's going to happen to the gabagoo? What's going to happen to the gabagoo? You don't even know what gabagoo is. It's like deli. It's what it is. It's just what they call it. It's Italian for... There you go. No, pizza is like more an American idea. But right? It's like, what's going to happen? Is there anybody that's sitting there late in the middle of the night worrying, oh, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to fettuccine Alfredo? What's going to happen? Nobody. The only people that do this is the Jewish people. The Jewish people have billions of dollars towards stemming assimilation, stemming intermarriage, making sure that people are involved. Where does this come from? Because it's built in the very fabric and structure of our DNA. And that's something that a non-Jew doesn't have access to and doesn't understand it. So you can learn that. Listen, for other Malachim, I'm happy to hear. But that's what I think.
Are there other religions that have a concept of community? I'm not an expert in other religions.
Islam does. Islam has something called the Ummah.
Nations, you're right. But,
Ummah. They have something called the Ummah. But I mean, Shia and Sunni, they don't hold of each other. And like I was saying, I just said somebody today, I said, it's amazing. You know, a guy is from Lakewood. He said, oh, he learned in an extreme, madrasa, bais medrash, right? And then in Chas V'Shalom, he's going to, you know, he studies by the extremists how to, like, you know, guerrilla warfare to fight in Teaneck, New Jersey. It doesn't exist. The whole thing, it's not possible. It doesn't exist because Baruch Hashem, we have this conception that, you know, we may disagree, but it's a family argument. It's not a physical violent argument where you have a guy from Pakistan who's a Shia and he's going against a guy who's in Iran who's a Sunni. We have it incorrect, and they're blowing each other up. Chas v'shalom. It's a very unique concept that even when you have the almost as dumb as possible to having an ummah, it's an extremely unique concept that we only have, and it's to appreciate it. Listen, l'chaim tov v'shalom, l'chaim. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.
You still want to live on a ranch.
All right, that's for sure true. I agree with you. Call this Israel. I call this Israel.